It's kind of interesting that we're doing this the day after a great big old earthquake hit. Did any of those lessons, before we get into some of the nitty gritty, would any of them have applied yesterday?
Undoubtedly, communication, preparation, making sure that folks know, who's in charge, all that sort of stuff. Fortunately, it doesn't appear that we've had any major injuries or anything, property damage here and there, and a little bit of confusion. But yeah, yesterday, Amy was a good example that, when something major occurs, like an earthquake, we need to, people look to government. And of course, in this case, government was directly affected. But folks look to government to do its job. And the same thing 10 years ago at 9/11, in D.C., again, directly affected, but government, had, some issues. Things didn't always work as planned. And, we've been looking, as you mentioned, the Partnership for Public Service has been looking at this and trying to determine, by talking to a lot of folks who were involved in 9/11, and involved in what happened after 9/11, looking at those lessons learned, how can we use the past to inform the future? And actually, we have a report that's going to be released next week on the management lessons of 9/11, and there are indeed some lessons learned.
Are some of them communications types issues, whether to shelter in place, whether to evacuate, things like that?
Well, we hope those are, kind of in place already, and I know in our building here in, we're a couple blocks from the White House. We had actually, although we're not, we're a nonprofit, but we had gone through drills and, those things sort of worked. I think, the larger management lessons learned, though, have to do with the response, after, and two of the things that occurred in government that still are very much with us today is Congress and the administration created two entirely new agencies, the Department of Homeland Security, which was the merger of 22 domestic and law enforcement agencies, and 180,000 employees came together into this new Department of Homeland Security. And then we created the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which was set up to coordinate 16 different intelligence agencies. And it was a structural response to some of the failures of communication. We had, too many folks not talking together and so on. So the notion was, well, let's put everybody together in one agency, and then let's, in the case of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, let's create this oversight entity and coordination entity to make sure everything works in an emergency the way it's supposed to. And, here we are 10 years later. And I think the consensus, Amy, is that the setting up the Department of Homeland Security and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence structure was a good thing to do, but it certainly did not unfold as smoothly as people thought. And there were, basically four major lessons learned. And I think over the last 10 years, both of those organizational entities, Homeland Security, Director of National Intelligence, have gotten better and better. But some of the things that were learned, I said there's four, but, the first one was, yes, you have to have the chain of command in place. And that's kind of almost the easy thing to do. That's the, organizational chart, and you put the names in, this person's at the top, and these people report to that person, et cetera. But that chain of command, while necessary to outline, it's not sufficient, because you have the informal chain of command, if you will, or the informal way that people communicate. And you need to make sure, when you're trying to set up an organization that can respond to emergencies, earthquakes, what have you, that you also have the people involved. You've won the hearts and minds of both political and and senior career leaders up and down the organizational line, that people understand really who's in charge, because you don't always have time to pick up the phone and call the boss. You have to, wherever you are in the organization, you have to be ready to do your job. You have to know who else is out there that you have to coordinate with. So the chain of command is necessary. You also, it's not going to be sufficient. You have to pay attention to the informal organizational structure.
We are talking with John Palguta, the Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. So it sounds like what you're saying is that when something does happen in the immediate aftermath, your workers are not necessarily going to look to you to find out what to do next. They're going to turn to the person they trust the most.
That's right, Amy. And you don't have time to get in touch, with the person in charge. That individual is probably quite busy, and a number of folks trying to get in touch. You have to make sure that your folks understand what they need to do. They need to be empowered to be able to do it, and they need to, have developed the kind of working relationship across the organization that they need to respond.
So 10 years hence, though, since we are 10 years removed from this, these lessons learned, have you, from your research and the work that you've done with folks, seen these lessons be put into practice? Or are we just now starting to realize, taking the emotion out of it, and starting to realize what these lessons are? Where are we in that process?
It's evolutionary, Amy. I think we're certainly better than we are further down the road in terms of implementing those lessons compared to where we were even the first year after 9/11. But it's something, it's like life. I mean, you have to keep working at it. You can't say, okay, now we've got it all right, and now we can just relax and it's going to keep working. It requires constant attention. You have to make sure, you get up every day and you do the things that you need to do, and you pay attention to make sure that, things are being maintained and nothing's going wrong. One of the other lessons, I talked about chain of command being one. Mm-hmm. The second lesson was the soft stuff is often sometimes the hardest to tackle.
What do you mean?
The values and culture of your organization. You can put in your systems and your structures and your organizational charts, but you also have to, when you're putting a bunch of folks together, they have different value systems. There's, different loyalties. There's, different histories and traditions in organizations that people feel strongly about. And you've got to make sure that, people can coalesce into an organized, working relationship where they share the same values and missions and goals. They understand what they're all trying to accomplish. And that doesn't just automatically happen. That's something they have to work on. So it's the soft stuff that you have to pay attention to.